Rima had known from the beginning that this was big trouble coming. She could hardly believe Patience had run off, and in fact, it seemed she had been abducted. That happens sometimes, girls stolen away, but usually no one would bother a ranger's household. And the man had said, loud enough to be heard, that he had business with Mitch. She hadn't wanted to tell Mitch until she knew for sure what had happened. Mitch was at a meeting, an important meeting. But his younger brother Jed had stopped by, as he often did, and when Tertia came in to report that Patience had still not come home, he took it upon himself to find Mitch. He liked to give orders, Jed did, and Prima knew that his ambitions went beyond being a ranger's brother. He wanted that star for himself, and Mitch couldn't see any danger in it. And then Mitch had come home, in a rage with her for not supervising the girl better. It seemed the woman who'd been captured at the same time as Patience had disappeared from the Crockett Street nursery. He'd called the older boys and they'd all gone out to search. And he'd sent for the parson to come and preach at her and the women all afternoon. It was more than a nuisance. It was baking day, and they had to leave the dough rising to sit in silent rows and listen to Parson Wells lecture them on their laziness and sinfulness. Prima kept her eyes down respectfully, but she did think it was a shame and a nuisance to stop hard-working women in their work and make them listen to a scolding about their laziness. And he would go on and on about their sins tainting their children. Prima had trouble with that bit of doctrine. If, hard as she tried, her faults had made poor Sammy a cripple and simplicity stupid, then how could the Outland women, who had arrived after lives of sin and blasphemy, bear such beautiful, healthy children? Mitch had come home late that night, having found not hide nor hair of Patience, or presumably the other woman, the yellow-haired one. Prima wanted to ask about the yellow hair's babies, but she knew better. He was in no mood to tolerate any forwardness, even from her. She set the house in order and waited by the women's door, but he never came to her. Early the next morning, she heard him leave the house. When she peeked, Jed was with him. She had hardly slept. She heard the roar of a departing shuttle from the spaceport, and sometime later, another, and another. A few hours later, a tumult from the boys' section drew her to its entrance.
Settle down! Be quiet!
Randy, Tertia's youngest boy, shot out the door.
Daddy's dead!
Prima caught him. He flailed at her.
Let me go! Let me go!
The tutor followed close behind.
Prima, put him down!
The tutor, though a man, was not Mitch, and she dared look at his face, pale as whey.
What is it?
That abomination. She stole the shuttle and tried to escape. Ranger Bowie and the others went after her. There's been a...
Light stabbed through the windows, a quick shocking flash of blue-white. Prima whirled, suddenly aware of her heart knocking at her ribs. The tutor had opened the window and peered out and up. Prima followed him. Outside, cars had stopped cantways, and men were looking up. Prima dared a look into the sky and saw only patches of blue between white clouds. Ordinary, unthreatening.
I want to see the news vid.
And she walked into the boys' part of the house without waiting for his permission. Prima could hardly make sense of what the men on the news vid were saying. Escape, pursuit, invasion, mobilization.
Invasion? Well, who could be invading? And why? What's happening?
The older boys were already moving toward their gun boxes. Daniel, Secunda's third, looked over to her.
It's the heathen. Come to try to enforce their dirty ways on us.
Why?
Don't worry, we'll protect you. Now you get on back to the women's side and keep order.
Prima turned to go, still unsure what had happened and what it could mean. In the kitchen, Secunda and Tertia both turned to her for an answer as to what the light meant.
I don't know.
Prima gave a moment's thought to who could know. Temptation tickled her. No, she dared not risk her soul asking an outlander such questions, but... She made up her mind and went out to the weaving shed.
Miriam!
The outlander woman turned from her loom. Her face was tight with tension. She must have seen the light, too.
Do you know what that light was?
Miriam nodded.
Was it from space? From ships?
Another nod. This time with a big grin, a triumphant grin. Miriam mimed a rocket taking off, shooting another rocket.
Who? Who would do this? Why?
She jumped when Miriam touched her arm.
What?
Miriam mimed writing. Writing. Mitch, she recalled, had threatened to take Miriam's right hand if she didn't quit writing. She'd hoped it wouldn't be necessary because the woman was a gifted weaver. Now she led Miriam to the kitchen and gave her the pad of paper and pencil they used for keeping accounts. Light is weapon, Miriam wrote. Prima squinted, trying to read as fast as Miriam wrote. Weapon, that was clear. Ionizing atmospheric gases. That made no sense. She didn't know any of the words. Miriam, glancing up, seemed to guess that. Made air glow. But air couldn't glow. Air was just air, clear unless there was smoke in it.
Who? Who would attack us?
Guerny Republic. Emerald Worlds. Baltic Confederation. Familius Regnant. Prima had no idea what those were besides godless outlanders. Battle in space, not attacking here. Someone you stole from. Prima narrowly stopped herself from slapping Miriam.
We don't steal, we are not thieves.
Stole me. Stole children, women. Killed men.
That's not true, you're lying. The children had no families, and you women were rescued from a life of degradation.
But Miriam had been here for more than 10 years. If she still believed she had been stolen, if she had not understood... I can prove it. Get to a transmitter. Call. Find out who that is and ask them.
I can't do that. You know it's forbidden. Women do not use men's technology.
But if she could find out, if it was possible... Miriam wrote, I know how. It's easy. Forbidden knowledge. Prima glanced around, realized that the others in the kitchen were staring, trying to understand this conversation.
I don't know where such machines are.
I know how to find them.
How?
Tall, thin things, sticking out the top of buildings.
It's still forbidden.
Thinking of looking up at the tall, thin things made Prima dizzy in her mind. Thinking of touching men's machines was worse. We can look at the news feed. Miriam must mean the machine kept for the women to watch religious broadcasts.
How? I don't know how to set it up.
Miriam smiled. I do. She went to the closet where it was kept and pulled it out. More than a little afraid, Prima helped her pull it, on its cart, into the back kitchen, where there were extra electrical outlets. Miriam uncoiled the nest of wires that Mitch had left and plugged this one and that one into the back and sides of the machine. Prima had no idea which went where and kept expecting the machine to burst into flame. Instead, a picture appeared, the same background as the one she'd seen on the boy's side. This time, only one man looked back at her. Miriam kept tinkering with the machine, and suddenly it had a different picture, crisp and colorful. Men in strange uniforms, very odd-looking. Prima felt faint suddenly. Some of those odd-looking men in uniform were women. The view narrowed, concentrating on one of them, a woman with dark skin and eyes and silver hair. Miriam touched one of the machine's front controls.
These are our demands. Return of children captured with the piracy of the ship Elias Madero. Return of infant children born to Sarah Meager during captivity. Your ships are destroyed. Your orbital station is destroyed. To avoid more damage and loss of life, you are urged to cooperate with us. This message is being transmitted on loop until we receive a reply.
Ships destroyed? Mitch's ship? Is he dead?
Prima felt the weight of that loss. If Mitch was dead, someone else would be Ranger Bowie, and she and the rest of Mitch's wives and children, would belong to Mitch's brother Jed, if he lived. Jeffrey, if Jed had died.
Turn that off, Miriam, before we get in trouble. Put a tablecloth over it.
Prima knew she should put it away, but if Mitch was not dead, there might be more news of him. And she could not bring herself to lose that connection.
It's past lunchtime, and we haven't served. Feed the children. Now, come on now. Feed them. Put the babies down for naps. What would Ranger Bowie think if he saw us like this?
They were washing up when Jed arrived, white-faced.
Prima, it's terrible news. Mitch is dead or captive. All the Rangers are. Get me food, woman. I have to... Somebody has to take over.
Prima scurried out, driving the maids away. She would serve him herself, safer. When she had piled his plate with roast and potatoes and young beans, she summoned Miriam.
Turn it on, but keep it low. Be ready to hide it again.
The next time she came through the kitchen, all the grown women were clustered around it. The screen showed Mitch, sitting miserably at a table, not eating, with men she knew around him. Terry, John, and there was the captain, Ranger Travis.
Prima, get out here!
Prima scurried away, resenting once again that part of scripture which would give her to this man just because he was Mitch's brother.